Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. Delight in God. The season of Epiphany highlights the manifestation of Christ as true God and true man. It is associated with the coming of the Magi and celebrates the communication of Christ's presence to all the world. The text for our meditation this morning is from Nehemiah chapter 8, which we heard in our Old Testament lesson this morning. And it's a beautiful window into the renewal of faith in God, in the God of Moses, and the Old Testament during the post-exilic period. Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem around 445 B.C. after Ezra, who had already arrived in 458. The restoration of Jerusalem included the physical realities, such as placing the captured temple treasures in the rebuilt temple and strengthening the walls of the city. Under God's providential care, the Persian rulers of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes granted the official permission for the return of the exiles and the restoration of Jerusalem. So in such a setting, the Torah of Moses was the jewel that defined the people's identity. It named them as God's chosen people and the object of his abiding affection, his love. The reading for today takes us to a remarkable and beautiful event. All the people of God are assembled and attentive as they hear the Torah of Moses read. Listen again and hear about this happy and holy occasion. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. How do we explain the delight in Moses' words? How could the reading of the first book of the sacred scriptures bring immediately worship and confession of the Lord as God? Can you imagine that kind of reaction today when the scriptures are read in public or in worship? How do people in our day respond? Is it the same joy and reverence? In fact, what is our response? Let me suggest that sacred scripture should be as captivating and exciting as it was for Ezra's audience. Why? Because the content of Scripture is so wonderful and so true. Here God tells us how things really are. And through His self-disclosure, all of humanity is invited into the rich relationship with Him. We'll let Moses' words make the point. Reflect as you hear portions of the beginning of Moses' book of Torah, the account of creation. Bible class has been doing this for the last few weeks. Reflect as you hear these account. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of heavens to give light to the earth. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Genesis 1:26. God saw everything that he has made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. the prevailing epics in the cultures that surrounded Moses, that would be Egypt and Greece, Mesopotamia, Palestine, they described creation in a very different way. And I think if you listen to the news of the day and how people regard what's happening in today's world, they viewed the sun, the moon, the stars, the sea, and a host of animals as gods who controlled everything on the earth. In their epics, human beings were simply not significant, definitely not preborn babies. And gods determined the course of history, and men and women would simply have to suffer the consequences of their supposed preferences. As we have seen, Moses begins his book with a very different claim, that man and woman are the apex of creation, the very crown of God's creative labors. Not mere accidental furniture to be moved about by chance. Moses composes a beautiful description of God's loving care in shaping all of creation for the benefit of man and woman. Now the sun and the moon are good forces from God's hand to serve humanity with alternating light and darkness. They are no longer gods who dominate creation and require the sacrifice of human beings in homage to their power. Moreover, God took special care in the formation of Adam and Eve. They alone would be made in his image. God would form Adam from the dust of the ground like a potter shaping his pot. God would breathe into Adam the very breath of life and make him a living soul. The Lord God formed the man of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Genesis 2:7. And similar attention to Eve. Eve would be formed from the rib of Adam into a perfect companion. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Genesis 2:21. What a wonderful word for Ezra's audience. What a wonderful word for us. We live in a culture where many have mythologized the sun and the moon and the galaxies. Powerful and prestigious voices suggest that human beings are simply accidents. Many in our day are convinced that all of us will simply be absorbed back into the cold, dark cosmos and be no more. In such a context, how beautiful Moses' words are. They are reason to be attentive and to be full of joy. So with the people of Ezra's time, it is our calling to say amen and to worship God for how wonderfully he has made us. We are called to live before him and tend the world that he created for us. Ezra's people, hearing God's word read to them that day, also learned again that God had not abandoned them, his chosen nation. Even though Adam and Eve had turned away from God with the will to become like God, remember that? Even though by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with the will to become like God, even though by eating of that they had chosen not to be his innocent creatures in a perfect and beautiful world, God still had not left them. In generation after generation, God had invited the people to return to life before and with him. Ezra's audience heard afresh about the promise of the woman's seed who would reverse the curse and the consequences of Adam and Eve's rebellion. They heard how that promise continued to be God's gracious plan of deliverance through Seth in Genesis 4, through Shem, Genesis 9, through Abram or Abraham in Genesis 12, and through Judah in Genesis 49. The people heard again how God had delivered their ancestors from Egyptian captivity and caused his glory to dwell with them in the tabernacle. Even the sacrificial system was instituted to provide forgiveness for the people's failings and for their sins. The book of Leviticus, the first 10 chapters especially. Ezra's people were also privileged to hear Moses' invitation at the very end of his book to return to God. Here's what he says. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession. Deuteronomy chapter 30. The people could see how God had indeed given them the land just as he had promised in the book of Joshua. How meaningful that promise was for them these centuries later, inasmuch as they had just returned to the land after exile in Babylon. Their feelings are captured in Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy. And then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done good things for us. We are glad. So, we again see what good news came through the reading of Moses' book. Again, the psalmists capture the feelings of Ezra's faithful hearers toward this good work from the Lord. I almost want to sing every time I see this. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord is pure and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Psalm 19. Indeed, as Ezra's people listened and worshipped, they were surrounded by gracious signs of God's abiding presence with them. The second temple, Zion's restoration, and the rebuilt walls of Jerusalem. God had brought his children home after decades of exile. What a story! What a message! What a wonderful and beautiful truth. And the great thing for you and for me is that we too are a part of this true and wonderful story. Our situation is not unlike theirs. We live in a culture that devalues and reduces human significance. Some of our most prestigious universities are dominated by those who regard human beings as but an accident in an endless evolutionary process of the cosmos. They reinvest the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the galaxies with power that they do not have, as if they were deities that determine our futures, just the way the ancient pagans showed them. And in such a context, you and I have every reason to say, Amen, Amen, to Moses' Torah, to Moses' words. Yes, we have every reason to join Ezra's congregation in worshiping the true God, who not only created us, in a wondrous fashion, but now also comes to us in mercy and love, in the definitive fulfillment of all of his promises. He comes in the gift of his very Son, Jesus, the woman's seed promised ever since Adam and Eve sinned. The brilliance of this reality is unveiled in this, the Epiphany season, in which the light of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension drives out the darkness that reduces human beings to mere material, accidental status. Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. Jesus, the second Adam, fully displayed the wonder and beauty of human nature by becoming a man. As the second Adam, he delighted in doing his Father's will. His life displayed a profound affection and love for every human being as he invited each one of us to repentance and life with God. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Luke 15. Reflect with me on that passage for just one last moment. God is so invested in us and in seeking each of us in Christ that not a single one of us, not a single human being, should feel unloved or insignificant. Our repentance, our turn to God, causes rejoicing among the angels. Moses' words thrilled and restored the people in Ezra's day. They thrill and restore us too, for they point us to God's saving gift of himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. The sacred scriptures of Christ bring us to delight in God. Amen.